It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Welcome, everyone, to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here today as well. My partner, Kirk Elliott, hanging out over here in the studio. Welcome, everyone, to the show. It's Monday, right? We're going to talk a lot about what's happened over the weekend here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we want to thank everybody again for tuning in to the show. Austin, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
Not doing too bad.
Not too bad. Wasn't the Friday that you were hoping for, though, was it?
No, this weekend really wasn't a great weekend for me.
I know that we talked about it on Saturday, but a lot of our listeners that watch this show maybe don't listen to Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So let's tell everybody how you did it. What's good news is to me today, what you told me is you guys found a lot of things wrong with the car after Friday.
They did. So Friday night was opening night at Lakeside Speedway, and my debut on the half mile in a USRA modified about said USMTS. I'll make a USMTS start this
year.
They're
the same thing.
It pretty much is.
Right. What's the difference between a USRA and a USMTS?
It's the same. USMTS is the two-ring series.
And the weekly is the USRA.
Yeah, right. Same rules. Yeah, but No, we had a good heat race, and we started up on the front row and fell back to, I think, third or fourth, and kind of knocked down the fence, and that didn't help it.
Hold on a second. Can I just say it? And I don't want you to.
I know what you're going to say.
I know you know what I'm going to say. But listen, I don't mean this with any disrespect, because, you know, I really enjoy watching you drive a sprint car. But that time you sailed it in over there on turn three, you took it in there about six or seven car lengths deeper than anybody else. It looked like you thought you had a top wing on that car.
Well, I think I do. I still do. You know, I got a lot of, I don't say it's a habit I got to break, because I don't want to break that habit, because when I go back, I'll have to relearn it again. But I drive everything just completely different now, and I was expecting a kind of a tall cushion and some moisture grabbed me. Well, Lakeside was far from a tall cushion and moisture, and I just four-wheel death slide knocked the right recorder panel off of it in the spoiler, so that just ended a good run in a heat race.
And then you found some things wrong with the car afterwards, too,
yeah,
right?
We found a couple other things, and then we just ran mid-pack in the rubber in the feature, and, you know, John and Jimmy.
Was it patchy, the rubber?
No. It was one lane around the bottom.
Really?
Just don't hit the tractor tire. I found it before anybody else did, I felt like, and I was too tight to get to them. And,
Tightened you up too much when you got in it?
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, we're still kind of trying to figure this car out. My driving style changed from when I went to Lakeside for practice night.
Well,
so
you're a sprint car driver.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not a modified driver.
No, I'm far from it. But, yeah, you know, John and Jimmy are trying to finding out, you know, little things, you know, throughout the week that's wrong with the car. And, you know, we're getting those issues fixed, and we should be better for the next time we go back to Lakeside. So maybe we'll take that 12th place finish and turn it into probably a top five, hopefully.
Well, you know, don't be too hard on yourself.
No. No,
first of all, we need to get your motor so you can start driving the sprint car.
I know.
What are you going to do? Are you going to try to drive both this summer?
Yeah, just whenever it doesn't conflict with my sprint car schedule. Right. I know this weekend I'm supposed to be at the lake.
That's
for
John
two
Culler's
nights.
Car, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He's an old-time racer. His number back in the day, if I remember, let me think, 46.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah. I remember him well back in the day. So, well, what'd you think about this weekend's racing? Carson Macedo picks up the win at Hobstadt. That was pretty good race, wasn't it? Did you watch any of it?
You know, I didn't watch it. I did something I've never done before. I went and watched Bowman Gray on Flow Racing Saturday night, so I was locked into one type of racing. But I followed it on my race pass all night long, and it's just, you know, Carson Macedo and Phil Dietz, we had him on the show last week. They got a good combination going. It started good last year, and they've just been able to carry the momentum into this year.
Yeah.
And, man, they're just on such a roll right now. They survived Peavey last week, and I think if you could survive that, you're going to be kind of on a good streak here. So, That team's kind of clicking good, and I don't know where they're at in the point standings. They should be, you know, first or second. I don't know how big of a lead Brad had going into this weekend, right. But yeah, I think they're going to be a tight contender for the championship.
All right, let's get into some news really quick. You come up with a press release.
Yes.
That was brought up here. What was it released today?
Saturday.
And it talks about future All-Star Circuit of Champions race. What's it say, Austin? Can you, in a nutshell, just kind of explain what it says? You don't have to read it word for word.
Yeah, so this coming Thursday, which is the 28th, the All-Star Circuit of Champions were planning to race at Bedford Speedway. They have come out with a press release stating that with the concerns for limited right rear tire supply and a potential for a very low car count due to that issue, the All-Stars and Bedford Speedway have made a mutual decision to postpone the event to a later date in hopes to have tires later in the year.
Man, oh man. It's already starting, isn't it?
I know. It's like Tommy just commented, it's April and we're already having tracks rubber up too, so that doesn't help the situation at all.
Listen, you know, Tommy Hahn is like a brother to me. I love him to death, right? Tommy was supposed to let me know on his way home how they did down at Little Rock on Saturday night, and I never heard from him. He never told me. So, Tommy, are you telling me that Little Rock rubbered up? Is that what happened down there at Little Rock at I-30? It rubbered up down there?
I hope not.
Well, I hope not either. Listen, if track's starting to rubber up and we're going to burn up a lot more tires, it's going to be a long summer.
I know. That's like
you burned up some tires, didn't you?
A whole set.
Yeah.
I got out of the car and I was pretty frustrated with Lakeside and you know the track that they gave us. I get they had an issue with the wind, but you know you just got to. It's like the decision we have with the All Stars right there. You got to kind of. Right. You know, think for your racers and not just, you know, put them in a bad situation like
Tommy
that.
Tommy said that Little Rock did not rubber up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Where did you end up, Tommy? Track was slick and dry.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious where Blake ended up down there at Little Rock. You know, he's so good down there. You know, he gets around that place so good. So Carson Macedo, let me just say this. You know that race, to be honest with you, I watched quite a bit of it, and I'm going to tell you who's impressing me more than anybody maybe this year. McFadden is really carrying that 83 car better than maybe I've seen that car get around in a long time. Do you think that, Austin? Do you see that? Do you see McFadden making that car run a little bit better than it has been in the last couple of years?
I think a little bit. You know, we had Pittman in the car.
He won one race, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he won at Volusia. I think it was probably 2018, 2019 when he ran that car.
Right.
And he was a top 10 car, you know, on average, and he just wasn't, you know, wasn't what McFadden's doing. I mean, McFadden looked like he probably won the Dash and was on the front row of the feature, and he ran good. It's just,
right.
You know, I think also some changes might have went down in the team internally too, and it might have, you know, stepped up the performance from when, you know, Pittman was in the car a couple years ago, yeah. But. You know, definitely, you know, putting a top caliber driver like James McFadden in there was the best decision for the Roth team.
Well, listen, when Sweet was out in the lead, when he usually gets out in the lead, he usually doesn't give up the lead.
No.
Right? But it just tells you how good Carson Macedo was. But McFadden was right there in the middle of it the entire time. I was pretty shocked. But, you know, Brad Sweet ended up running second. Sheldon Hodenshield ended up running third. Spencer Baston was fourth, and Logan Schuchart was fifth. I'm more impressed right now with McFadden running. And you know what ended up happening to him? Some lappers spun out in front of him, and he T-boned him.
You know, also,
and it took him out of the race.
Somebody, too, that's kind of, I don't want to say a sleeper, but he's just kind of lurking in the shadows is Spencer Baston.
Well, that's true.
I mean, look, he's running fifth right here, and you don't, I mean, he has a good car every night, but he's just, he's kind of outside the highlight, you know, zone, and, you know, I wouldn't count him out later in the season with being super consistent like this.
I think Spencer, what he's doing is he's putting himself into position to win. You know, before you can win, you've got to put yourself into position to
win,
right? You've got to get yourself up there in that top five, top six. You got to be in that area to even have a chance to win. And if you're not up there in the top five, you're never going to have a chance to win.
Right.
You know, you might have to take advantage of some opportunities. There's where McFadden plowed into the lap cars that were spinning out in front of him. I think those were team cars, too, the way. Yeah. So that was a tough assignment there for McFadden. I felt really bad for him because he was running pretty well at that point. I think he ended up rallying back to finish 11th after that wreck. They had 24 cars in that field, so he ended up rallying back and having a good finish. Finished just ahead of Donnie Schatz and Noah Gass. But, yeah, I felt bad for McFadden right there.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't won a race yet, has he, this year?
He hasn't.
I think, right. You know, at some point the monkey will kind of get off his back and he'll pick, you know, one off at least, if not two or three, you know? You know, he had a good year with Casey Kane last year. I think when he came from Casey Kane Racing to the Roth team, I bet you they brought some of the same, you know, maybe equipment over. You know, he was already comfortable with the Casey Kane cars that were Maxims. I bet you that. I think the Roth cars used to be on KCP, so I bet you... You know, they might have made it, you know, a manufacturer switch or, you know, part switch or whatever they did to make them more comfortable. I think that's kind of helping the performance as well.
Or maybe Dennis just decided to step up and make it work a little bit better for McFadden. I mean, he's a hell of a driver, right? We know he's good. So, hey, did you notice the nose wing damage on Carson Macedo's car? It happened sometime during that point when McFadden ran into those lap cars. I don't know how he got the wing damage, but I thought that might take him out of the race, but he still was managed to run up front and finish that race and end up picking up the win. But did you notice the nose damage, car?
I'm going to go back and watch the highlights again. Yeah. But what he got lucky with it being a short track and super, super low, I mean, not low speeds, but it's slower.
Right.
So you don't need a nose wing to really, you know, make you around the track, so that was kind of a saving grace for him. But yeah, I mean, if he was at, like, you know, Knoxville or a big half mile, he'd be screwed. But
right,
you can kind of get away with that stuff on short tracks like that.
Those last five laps, though, Sweet really made a run at him. You know, they were in that lap traffic and everything, and it was getting pretty hectic right there. And Brad Sweet made a nice little run at him there with five to go. Did you watch? You didn't watch any of it, did you?
No, I'm just watching for the first time right here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he put a little charge on him right there at the end of the race. So that was a pretty interesting race. I enjoyed watching all of it. There was a lot of lap traffic down there, man. I mean, they were in the thick of it, heavy for a lot of that race. So it was good to see McFadden win. I mean, not McFadden win, Carson Macedo win, just because, well, he's a Show Me State guy now, right? I mean, he's racing for a team out of the Show Me State.
You know, also, too, is that's they had a really good car count at the Outlaw Show, too. So it shows that, you know, even through all this, that, you know, the Outlaws are still pulling a good car count. I think they're up in the 30s. They had to be main, at least one of them.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to watch any of the World of Outlaw late model action down there Saturday night at Atomic Speedway? Did you watch any of that?
I did not. The late model race that I kind of watched some highlights on was the Super Series, Super XR Series at Altec. Jonathan Davenport won.
Yeah. No, it was a pretty good race. Listen, Brandon Shepherd is just so good, man. I mean, he just beat the pants off of him, right? Dennis Erb Jr. ended up running second. A car that was a little surprising to me, that I'm not really familiar with the guy, to be honest with you, 111V of Max Blair was right up there running towards the front for a little bit, too.
Oh.
But I'm not really familiar with that
guy. I've never heard that name before.
No, me neither.
So we'll have to pay attention to.
Yeah, Gordon Gundaker was fourth, and rounding out the top five was Devin Moran. So pretty good stuff right there. Yeah, it was good. You know, the one thing about it is that I'm starting to really dig these late models, man. They put on such a great race, right?
They really do.
And, you know, I didn't realize how far I was out of the loop with the late model scene, but, man, I really enjoy it. Have a lot of fun watching it. You know, one thing that I don't like about the National Touring Series, to be honest with you, it's just my own personal thing. It's just my opinion. It has nothing to do with anything. But I hate qualifying. Hate it. You know, as a driver, I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I was always one of the better qualifiers. But as a fan in the grandstands, I don't really care that much for it.
Right. I could see your two sides of that. You know, I love qualifying. I only got to do it once in a sprint car, and it was, you know, really fun. But yeah, I mean, it does kind of drag the show out, but if you do it efficiently in the right way, I don't really think it has that big of an effect in the program.
Right. Tommy just chimed in. He says, I think the All-Stars are worried about car count. Why does the Friday and Saturday shows not get affected with tires?
Oh.
How about that?
Yeah.
Was that show?
That was a Thursday night show they canceled.
Wow. Hey, Marie. How you doing? Tommy said Port Royal race Saturday night was the race of the weekend. Macri and Wagner put on a great show. That was a good show, man. That was some good stuff.
I got to say, probably the best track in the country right now is Port Royal. Or here in the last couple of years.
Oh. You're stepping out there on the limb a little bit.
That's just my... like you, personal opinion, but I mean, it puts on, you know, probably some of the best racing I've seen in a long time, and that place always, like, no matter the condition of it, right. You can always get just, you know, insane runs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm going to get the highlights pulled up here in a second, but, you know, Logan Wagner was running the bottom there for a couple laps, and Macri ran the top for one lap, and then slid him, and ran the top the next lap, and gained up where he lost in the slide job that he didn't get completed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just crazy how that track got built and how good of a run it can produce in just a short amount of time.
Yeah. We don't have any Victory Lane interviews
not
queued
today.
Up, do we?
No, we'll place one tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. All right. How about Jonathan Davenport picking up the big win? $50,000. And you told me that was a XR, that's a super XR series race, right?
It is.
Yeah. 50,000 to win Saturday night at Alltech Raceway, I'm sorry, in Florida.
Yeah, that series is kind of, you know, they're not running a busy schedule this year. You know, they got probably four events, maybe a month, maybe a little bit more than that. But, yeah, they're paying some really good money.
Real money.
And you can see the names that they're pulling to those events. Jonathan Davenport, I saw Ricky Thornton was there. I think Mike Marler was
Brandon
there.
Brandon Overton was there.
Yeah, I mean, just the best of the best are going and you know, trying their hand and to
Kyle
win
Kyle Larson
that.
Was there. He runs 17th. Started 18th.
Yeah, that's not a good night for Kyle. Kyle does have...
I didn't see what happened to him there. I have no idea.
I didn't catch
Scott
that.
Bloomquist was there
I mean, look at the names that series is pulling, and that's what you want to see is... I mean, it's kind of pulling them all away from the Outlaws and the Lucas Oil series,
Our friend Mike Marler was there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night is the Florida Racing Night in America at Eldora.
Jimmy Owens was there. Dale McDowell was there. Bobby Pierce was there. Chris Madden was there. Shane Clanton was there. There are a lot of big names at that race, man.
It just shows you put the money up, they'll come.
That's what it's all about, right? When you're
any more these days, it is.
When you pay $50,000 to win, you're going to get the best of the best to show up.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Just like when they ran Bristol.
How many $50,000 to win races? Lloyd Collins, I know he's hanging out with us here on the show today. I don't know. Lloyd, do you know how many $50,000 to win races there is in the country during the year? I'm just a little bit curious there.
I bet you there's probably,
I don't
six?
Know. I have no idea.
I'm going to guess around 6 to 8.
Yeah. Hey, John, our friend John's checking in from upstate New York. John, we appreciate you hanging out with us each and every day here on Mostly Motorsports. What am I forgetting here? Oh, Talladega. Oh, yeah, we forgot about Talladega. Oh, there was a race there this weekend.
There was?
Yep.
I never heard about that.
Yep. You didn't hear about it?
Nope. NASCAR? Never heard about it.
You didn't watch it?
No. Huh. I was out racing pavement go-karts, road course go-karts Saturday. Actually, I wasn't racing. I was a crew chief, so.
Ross Chastain, so lucky.
He was.
To get that win.
I saw the last lap. Did Larson have a shot, or was it more of Eric Jones having a shot at winning if they didn't get turned by Kurt Busch?
You know, I think Kyle Larson said it best. At the end of that race, instead of going right, he should have went left. He should have faked right, went left, and went down low.
Mm-hmm.
and he might have ended up winning the race. But the problem is when he went to the right, he threw the block on him, and then that opened up the door on the bottom for Ross Chastain to go by and pick up the win. And it's funny, though, that Kyle Larson ended up dropping back to fourth, and he was right there in the middle of it right at the end of that race.
I'm kind of getting nervous on my opinion here.
Why?
Well, I've kind of told you this off the air. I want to see 16 different winners this year in the Cup Series.
I know you do.
And fill up the playoffs by just different winners. And this is twice we've had, I think, nine races in, I think it is, and we've had two repeat winners. And we got plenty of races left until the cutoff race for the playoffs on like race 26, but I'm starting to get nervous that my opinion, it's not going to live up to what I want it to be.
You know, I'm going to tell you who I was pulling for to win that race. Eric Jones, the 43 car.
He had a shot. He's been fast all year, too. He should have won one at Auto Club earlier in the season.
You know, we talk about people carrying cars right now. Right now, he's carrying that car. Right.
Yeah, because Ty Dillon's
got a real limited budget, you know.
Yeah, well, Ty Dillon's not doing a whole lot in the second car too. He's doing
well.
All right,
no, he ran up towards the front all day yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was right in the middle of it all day. Yeah, but he got caught up in that wreck there late in the race. And Joey Logano, he got squeezed out. You know, that's some people don't like plate racing. Me personally, I love it.
I like it too.
I love it just about as much as short track racing.
It's so technical. Yeah. You know, you got to time the runs, you got to catch the draft, and it's a whole different element of just, you know, your typical, like, you know, mile and a half or short track racing. It's just, it brings out a different driver in yourself.
Yeah. Caleb says that I really wanted the 43 to win, but I really pull for Larson 99% of the time. You know, I think a lot of people do, right?
Yeah. Have to. You're a Dirk fan, right?
Right. Right. You know what was bad? Christopher Bell.
Yeah.
Did you see what happened to him? They were coming out of the pits. He had one of the pit stalls up towards the front because he won the pole.
Yes.
And he come out of his pit box, and he makes contact with the 18 car, spinning the 20 car of Christopher Bell out. And at that point, it was all over for him. I was really disappointed about what happened because it happens on pit road.
Yeah. How do you crash on pit road?
Well, you know, I didn't really analyze the tape that much to really pay attention to whose fault it was. Was it the 18? Was it the 20? Did the 20 car come out and run into the side of the 18 car? Did the 18 car come out a little bit low and cause the 20 car to get into his left side? I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's not good when you have two teammates crashing on the exit of pit road.
No,
you know,
it's never good.
You know, anymore we're drafting as teams and manufacturers and you know, if it didn't tether cars a whole lot, I mean, you would have wiped out, you know, two of the best drafters and two of the powerhouse drivers in a powerhouse team.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good at all. So, yep. Well, why don't we do this? Lee Spencer's going to be on the show with us here in just a moment. We're going to talk to her about everything that happened at Talladega. We'll talk a little dirt track racing with her as well. It's all Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. It's brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. When we come back, Lee Spencer joins us on the show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
next to your vehicle's engine. Your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is our sister on Racing Boys, Lee Spencer. How you doing, Lee?
I'm super. How are you?
I'm doing just peachy. Just peachy. You know, I've been noticing that you are on Sirius Satellite Radio a lot anymore. What is going on, man? They really are using you. That's because you're the best.
I don't know. I guess they just need to find somebody to get up early. But anyway.
Well.
No, it's all good. I enjoy it. I get a kick out of working with that group. It's a great bunch of guys.
They are. There's a bunch of great, great people over there. I'll just say this. The morning people are better than the afternoon people. I'll just say that.
Okay.
You don't.
I listen around the clock when it, I mean, it's pretty much on all the time in my car, but I do right. have, yeah, I mean, I do enjoy certain shows a little more, but you know, we won't play favorites right now.
Well, no, hey, listen, I'll just be the asshole about it. So you just let me do the dirty work here.
So what, you be that guy today.
Right, right. Okay. So what'd you think of the finish of that race yesterday?
I was happy for Ross and sad for Eric Jones. You know, it's just one of those deals. I think Larson screwed up. I think Kurt had a fighting chance if Larson not gotten into him. Mm-hmm. He had a great run in it. In his back bumper. You know, this is the one thing. The Fords have been so unselfish for so long, and it's really hard for race car drivers to be unselfish. But,
right.
You know, Ford has really been great at doing that. You just had a lot of the top Fords were taken out of contention yesterday.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that a veteran and someone as savvy as Brad Keselowski, you know, would make two speeding mistakes on pit road, but right. You know, according to NASCAR, he did, and yeah. So that's you know, that was a tough deal.
You know, I was rooting for Eric Jones as well. I think a lot of people were. Is it Eric Jones that people are rooting for, or is it the 43 car?
I think it's a combination of both. I think, you know, Eric was bumped out of Joe Gibbs Racing a little bit earlier than I think we all expected. And so just trying to see where he goes and, you know, what happens to him and how he, you know, hopefully how he turns things around with his next chance in NASCAR. I think it's kind of a combination, but, you know, there are so many. If you're an old school Petty fan, you're used to having that 43 run up front, but that's not something that car has done, you know, probably as much as people would expect it to over the course of history. So, you know, recent history, I should say. So it's tough.
Is it the lack of funds for that team? Is that the downfall to that team? Is that they don't get the big bucks like some of the other elite teams get?
Well, I think it's, you know, that's kind of turning around since their partnership with GMS. That's what I'm writing about is my follow-up today, just the fact of putting those two cars together and, you know, seeing what happens. You know, when you look at the course of their history, you know, from the time RP got out of the car, it's like, you know, the company has had, you know, tremendous success when RP was driving, but you know, you look at the guys who have won in the car since it went through the transformation of RPM and, you know, went from Petty Enterprises to RPM and now mm-hmm. Petty GMS, and you know, Casey Kane was able to win in that car, and Marco Sambros, you know, went on a road course a couple of times, and Eric Almirola was able to get a Daytona win.
Right.
You know, but it's like it's not – since Eric Almirola, you know, won in 2014, that car has not been back to victory lane. And so we're on an 8-year drought, and I really think Eric Jones is the guy that can change that up a little bit.
Yeah. I got to ask you about the incident between Kyle Busch and Christopher Bell coming off of pit road. Did you analyze that a little bit and take a harder look at that? Because I didn't go back and watch the replay. I don't know if that was more Christopher Bell's fault or if
that was all on Kyle. I mean, that was on Kyle, but I think Kyle was trying to avoid the third car in that mix.
Right.
But, you know, I was listening to the radios after that happened and didn't hear anything. So I'm, you know, kind of curious, are we all, you know, is there a dark channel now that we're not allowed to hear, you know, hear things when they go funky between teams or what the story is? Because if I'm Christopher Bell and I know how stout my car is, I'm wondering, you know, hey, what the hell? And,
right.
You know, on top of all of that, then you have the questions as to whether or not Kyle Busch will be at Joe Gibbs Racing last year. You know, that was brought to him, whether or not there had been any discussion as to what his situation was with Gibbs next year. And if he knows something, he's keeping it pretty damn close to the vest. And, you know, I'm kind of curious to see where that all lines up once we you know, start getting closer to deadlines and such.
Is it the reason for Kyle Busch, is it more about him or is it more about his age and where he's at in his career right now if he doesn't drive for Gibbs next
He'll
year?
Turn 30, he turns 37 next month. And
yep.
I don't think that that's old by any means.
I don't either.
I still think he's probably the most talented driver in the in the paddock, but then again, he brings a lot of drama with him, and it's I don't know. I just maybe Joe Gibbs is just at the point where he needs to make room for Ty, and
right.
perhaps that might be where he's off to.
Where do you think would be the natural place for Kyle Busch to fall in with the? But first of all, Kyle Busch isn't going to drive for some second-rate team. He's going to be sought after by a lot of big teams. Where do you think he falls in if for some reason it doesn't work out with him and Gibbs?
I mean, I just, I don't know if Toyota finally gives him a cup opportunity. They've said all along that they really wanted to expand their footprint in Cup, and yeah. we've noticed just by adding the two cars over with Hamlin over the last couple of years that it really helped their effort at, formerly known Restricted Play Tracks,
right.
or Speedways, but, is that the route he goes? Does he become his own boss? I mean, look how much Hamlin is struggling with it. I mean, Hamlin had a terrible day yesterday mm-hmm. because not only does he run out of gas with two laps to go, his two cars get wrecked on the final corner of the race. And,
right.
That's just, it was just one of those things. You know, he mentioned at Martinsville about looking up at the pylon and saying to himself, WTF. And then yesterday, you had it all over again. And so, wrecking cars, not finishing races. I mean, he finished yesterday, but he ran out of fuel and had to get a splash to finish. I mean, how does that happen?
Right.
If you know that you can't go the distance, and yeah, they're banking that there's going to be a caution. Do you realize that final stage went green to the finish?
It was crazy.
I mean, when does that happen?
Never. Right.
Yeah, and so I think, they were like, we'll give him enough gas that he can get back out there. And, it wasn't enough gas to finish the race if the race goes green. And mm-hmm. so it was, there's been a lot of critical errors on the 11 car. Kyle Busch is always, bitching and moaning about something or other.
Right, yeah.
His place, even though he won, he wins last week and still doesn't know what his future looks like. Again, I don't think it's a question of his age whatsoever. I just think of, maybe Joe Gibbs has had enough. Maybe not, maybe he'll finish out his career there, but
who knows?
Somebody's got to leave to make room for Ty Gibbs. Is it Kyle Busch because his contract's over? Is it Truex because, he's just not crazy about this car and he's probably closer to retirement age? Is it Denny leaving full time to concentrate on actually
team
getting
owner.
That team up and running?
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as Denny can, as long as FedEx is going to sponsor Denny and he can cash a paycheck through Joe Gibbs, he's going to stay the course there. But you got a lot more kids, up-and-coming kids in the Toyota ranks than you do someplace else.
Right.
Someone asked me today, would he be a good replacement for Eric Almirola? I just don't see that happening. I just don't see him as a good fit for Stuart Haas Racing. But, who knows? It's like success, breeds, strange partnerships. And if you deal with Kyle, you have to take the baggage along with it.
Well, me personally, I would have to look at Martin Truex Jr. or Denny Hamlin before I would look at Kyle Busch. I would re-sign Kyle Busch because he's still young enough and he's still going to win a lot of races. And I still think he's got another championship in him. I'm not so sure about Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin makes too many mistakes. Martin Truex Jr., it looks like...
Well, but, on Hamlin's defense, And I really think Chris Gabehart's a savvy dude, but I mean, they've had problems with, you know, their decisions that they have made over there is absolutely, I mean, they just haven't worked out of late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. If I was going to have to pick between the three of them, right, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, or Martin Truex.
Kyle Busch would be your keeper, no doubt.
Yeah, I think I would get rid of Martin Truex Jr. if it was my choice, because to me, I know Martin's still running pretty good. He still runs up there towards the front and everything, but I think he's the weakest of the three in my book. I still think.
I don't know. He's got a championship, and Denny doesn't.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, when you look at that, and I mean, I haven't, you know, I would really have to do a deep dive on what these guys' numbers are over the, you know, it's, who was the other one? Someone was asking about, was it Chit? No, you know, Kyle Busch. Compare Kyle Busch's numbers and his wins over the right. last couple of years compared to what Bowman's done. You know, he's yeah. sitting there, he's calling Bowman a hack. I mean, hell, Bowman's had more wins than Kyle has over right. the last 2 years. So, you know, before you start throwing out, you know, before you start the name calling, I mean, you might want to look at the numbers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm like you. I think Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson are the two best drivers in the Cup garage right now. How could you get rid of either one of those guys? It just can't happen. They're just too talented.
Well, and you know, it's like I said earlier, I really like the Kyle and Kyle show. I mean, yeah. I like watching those two go at it.
Yeah.
Because I really think that they're, you know, they give it their all, their balls out. You know, there are people who have had less, you know, less, I don't know, worse numbers certainly than they have, but. Mm-hmm. You know, since 2020, and I'm, you know, pulled it up now, since 2020, since the start of 2020, Alex Bowman has had 6 wins and Kyle has had 4. So
yeah.
Who's the hack?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I don't know. Were you satisfied with that race yesterday? I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. I didn't think there was anything bad about it.
I thought it was a sporty race.
Yeah.
I mean, the stands were absolutely packed. I thought that was good. You know, again, we're having a situation where you have a lot of these young guns going up there, you know, these 30-somethings, whether it's Chastain or Eric Jones, you know, just mixing it up out there. And
yeah.
Chastain, by far, if, you know, you look at the best story of the season, it's by far the Trackhouse Racing.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I'd like to see that kind of continue, because it's nice to have different, you know, different names up there. But, you know, Talladega is going to do that, right? I mean, Talladega is not your traditional short track. It's not your traditional intermediate track. It's an animal all of its own. Am I surprised to see a Michael McDowell have a top 10 finish? Hell no, because, you know, not only has he been solid at those kinds of tracks, and he did win the Daytona 500 last
yeah.
year, right? Front Row Motorsports, all their wins have come on it on you know, either Daytona or Talladega, so that
right.
that one didn't surprise me at all. Kevin Harvick being the only Ford along with McDowell, you know, just mm-hmm. two Fords, when you think about Ford's past history, to me that's probably a little more surprising than you know it, than the overall landscape. But you know, you got to give Toyota credit, because Toyota, it just really depends where they are, but they seem to work better yesterday than they had. And, you know, like I said, if Larson doesn't wreck Kurt Busch, then it's, you're going to have a completely different complexion to the finish of that race.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I don't know. It to me personally, it was a satisfying race yesterday. I was happy with it. Trackside, I'm so happy for those guys there, Ross Chastain and that team. I'm so happy for them. Because it makes – what is the difference? What are they doing over there different than they did when it was Chip Ganassi? What is the difference between that team now?
Chip Ganassi was never emotionally invested in
right.
NASCAR.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, right.
Ever. He was emotionally invested in the amount of money that Target gave him to run NASCAR and IndyCar. That's what he was invested in. After Target left, it's just, you know, it was
over.
It was a slow exit, you know, slow descent.
Yeah.
But I just never really felt he was invested emotionally in NASCAR. And if you're not, you know, then you have a guy, you know, in comparison, like a Justin Marks, who is all freaking in and brings such a positive philosophy to the game. Look what he's done for Ross. I mean, he has rejuvenated Ross's career.
No doubt.
And I think when you have somebody who just has that positive vibe, continual positive vibe, and you believe in something, that it's just going to dramatically change the landscape, and that's what he's done.
Austin wants to jump in and ask a question. What do you got, Austin?
So I'm kind of step back here. So talking about Toyota and 2311 Racing. So is there a chance at the end of this year that we see a seat open up at 2311 and Bubba Wallace losing his ride, just in the fact that, you know, ever since this new car kind of came out at the end of last year, that
I don't think there's a chance.
You don't think so? He just hasn't. He's had some good runs.
Double?
He hasn't had good runs yet. I mean, he's had some. He won that rain shortened race, which, not taking that away from him at all. But he's been like a top 20 car, you know, on average. And Michael Jordan said multiple times in interviews that
they're all about winning, right?
Yeah, they signed checks to winners. So do they want to try and give that name, you know, let that name go, or they try and, you know, hold out and see if Bubba can turn it around?
I say they stick with Bubba. What do you think, Lee?
I don't think they have a choice. I think they're already invested. You know, sometimes his attitude just isn't, or his attitude and his psyche is just not where it needs to be. You know, he said publicly he suffered from depression, and, you know, I look at depression as any other illness. You can't just look at it. I'm all about talking about mental health as being every bit as important as physical health. I mean, mental health can be a disability, just like,
sure.
I mean, I've just seen it too many times, right? And I just, you know, I think that Bubba has to work on Bubba. Bubba's not going to ever evolve into the kind of driver he needs to be if he doesn't work on Bubba. You know, he has to accept what's going on and deal with it and find a solution for it. You know, and maybe he is, and he's not going to talk about it as publicly as some of the people have.
I mean,
Cody Ware has been very forthcoming about dealing with his mental health issues.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to talk about because people, you know, judge you differently when you acknowledge that there's something going on. And, you know, America needs to change its views on mental health. You know, you're just not having a bad day.
It's much deeper than that. Right.
Yeah, it's nothing to joke about, honestly.
Right.
But it's something that he needs to, if he's not addressing, it needs to be addressed. And he really needs to work on Bubba, because until Bubba, you know, really starts to get Bubba, there's always going to be a roadblock between him and the ultimate success that he's hoping to achieve.
Okay, so I'm going to go down this road, and I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to. Do you think because he's a black driver, that's why Michael Jordan is involved with him, and that's why they'll keep him?
I think it gives him a little more leeway than if his name was John Smith.
Right. No, I get you. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But that, there's nothing wrong with that, though. It's creating opportunity.
No, there isn't, NASCAR needs to, you know, I shouldn't do this, but I got in an argument with somebody on an app, you know, just because they were a racist bully, and I just, you know, I've got an issue with that, but that's,
right.
You know, we could do a whole show on that. I'm not going to go there.
Right.
The other side of that is, NASCAR has tried very hard to be inclusive and try to make the field and the paddock look more like America than, what it has over the years.
Yeah, right.
And, Bubba's been the best opportunity. Bubba won last year. You know, Bubba's best opportunity to make that happen. And I don't have an issue with it, but if there's somebody who comes along who's more competitive and can, you know, step up, then,
create the opportunity
that organization's going to have to take. On the other side of that, I think bringing Kurt Busch over there to set a benchmark and, give, Bubba an idea as to what these cars are capable of achieving, then, that's a whole different ballgame.
So I'm going to ask you, is there another black driver coming up through the food chain right now that you think has got a lot of talent that you're looking at? What isn't there a driver in the truck series?
Raja Carruth has had starts, but I mean, I have not
seen the talent there.
There's somebody who's ready to make that leap, no more than I think that there is a driver in the Ford camp who would be ready to take Eric Almirola's spot.
Right.
I mean, I'm just looking at it as generic driver ready to make the move.
No, I get it.
They threw Bubba to the wolves too early, and
it's true.
It's no different, but he's also had ample opportunity, right? And
yeah.
Kurt has shown that the cars probably should be performing better than what we saw last year, but it was the first year with that team. Did I expect to see great things out of him at RPM? No. And, same conversation we were having with Jones. If you put a mediocre driver and mediocre equipment, you're going to get mediocre results.
That's true.
I think Eric Jones is a better driver than Bubba Wallace. I think that he's making the most of this new opportunity. So we'll go from there and see what happens.
Right.
But overall, time and again, when you have drivers in situations where they're just not prepared for the situation, I think Harrison Burton's a perfect example of that. They pushed Harrison Burton, who didn't even win a race last year in Xfinity, up into the Cup Series well before he was prepared for it.
Yeah.
And, 10 races in, and he's, we haven't even seen a glimmer of what a Cup driver should look like in the 21, the iconic 21 car.
Yeah,
so, this is, you got to give people time to get used to this new car, but we're 10 races in right now. And,
right.
You have somebody like Chase Elliott Chase Elliott hit a top 10 yesterday. Well, yeah, it's Talladega. When you compare him to Alex Bowman, when you compare him to Kyle Larson, mm-hmm. William Byron, he's not getting the job done, right?
That's
true. I mean, do we think he's washed up? I don't think it's time to call him washed up yet, but,
right.
We're still not seeing the types of numbers out of Chase that we're used to seeing, but he's leading the points, right? I mean,
right.
I still, every time that happens and I check and I ask my husband, so, what's the points look like? And he tells me he's leading. I'm like, I'm floored by that because he's got a rash of top tens, but it's, he hasn't posted but one top five and he's leading the points. So it's been a goofy year.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Nobody really stands out.
I believe that Eric Jones is going to get another shot at a top elite team eventually. And they're going to look at him driving that 43 car and say, that guy's got talent, because we know what they have over there with the 43 car. I know it's better right now, but still, I think that Eric Jones is going to get another opportunity with an elite team. Do you think that?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do, because I think that they, that was an experiment cut short when they showed him the door.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys, Lee?
I should have an Eric Jones story posted here rather shortly. I really think that, I think he, Daniel Suarez, Tyler Reddick, these are all kids that, once they break through, you're going to start seeing continued success.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. All right, Lee, we appreciate you taking the time with us every Saturday and every Monday here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate you taking the time. Did you want to talk anything about dirt racing this weekend? Carson Macedo, hell of a job.
Oh, my God, third in a row, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I hated the fact that, you know, my local dirt track was rained out, but, you know, it was great to see that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. And Brad Sweet was catching
it. That was a great race, by the way.
It really was. And, you know, I was talking about a little bit earlier. I am so surprised how McFadden is carrying that 83 car right now.
He was pretty sporty, too.
Yeah.
And I just, there are a couple of, I'm still waiting for Logan to look like the old Logan. I don't know what's going on there. I expect him to be out front more. The other thing that we were watching was Port City. You know, great racing with the midgets this weekend. So that was cool too.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just there's plenty of dirt racing to choose from. I never get bored with it.
Yeah, Port City's a great little place to watch micro racing, and Buddy Kofoid ended up picking up the victory down there in the 50 lap race they had. So that was pretty good. Mitch Moles put it on him pretty good, though. He was running pretty solid.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, he did. And you know, Kaylee won the micro going into the
right
the main on Friday, and then she had a podium. So, you know, great racing with Sad. You know, there was plenty to choose from over the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Lee, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate you.
Take care.
All right. There you have it, Lee Spencer. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show when we come back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen-printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen-printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I got one little rant I want to get into right before here at the end of the show that I didn't bring up. And maybe I should save it for tomorrow. But I'm not going to. Why in the hell do we need 2 hours of pre-race NASCAR coverage before the races? Why do we need that much coverage? So I can watch Michael Waltrip run around and talk to people and act stupid. So I have to listen to all this fodder. Listen, give me about 30 minutes worth of pre-race show at these NASCAR races. That's all I need. I don't need 2 hours of pre-race fodder to get me excited about the race. All I need is about 30 minutes. Does anybody else agree with me on this one right here? Does anybody agree with me? We don't need that much pre-race NASCAR coverage before the race. What do you think, Austin? Are you with me or are you against me on it?
Well, I agree with you. I don't watch, you know...
You don't watch TV.
I don't watch TV, so I don't watch NASCAR.
I confirmed that with your mom, by the way, on Friday night.
That's true.
Right.
It's totally
you know,
true.
You don't watch TV.
If I do watch a cup race, I do watch like it on like my computer, where I go on Fox Sports Live or whatever and watch it. But I don't care to watch the pre-race. I've never been into it. I don't, like you said, I don't need to see Michael Waltrip out there running around like a chicken with his head cut off or whatever. But I mean,
I can't handle Michael Waltrip. Hold on. Get rid of Michael Waltrip. We don't need him. Find somebody young, like an Austin O'Neill or a Chris Wilner, and put him in that place. I understand he doesn't mind acting like a goofball, but you can find other people that don't mind acting like a goofball as well, right? We don't need Listen, I don't need either one of the Waltrips on television anymore. I'm tired of them. I am sick of them. Get rid of them. Run them down the road. Let's bring in some young people. And let's start creating a new identity with some new people. We don't need all these old guys. In fact, I'll say it. We don't need Larry Mack. I like Larry Mack. Don't get me wrong. He's a nice guy. And we've had him on our show with us all the time. Back in the day. But no, we don't need Larry Mack either.
I think we just need Larry Mack just for like the cutaway car. That's it. just leave him for the cutaway
car.
Why
can't you find somebody else younger to do that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just used to seeing Larry Mack do it, and he's a lot better than DW. So, I mean, when DW came back for that cup race, it was just, I don't know.
There's other people out there that can do this good
job. You're right, and it just... That's like we talked about on the show about that event that week. Why don't we have like a Brad Doty, a Kevin Swindell, Johnny Gibson, I don't care, Tony Baca, when somebody come in there that knows what they're talking about. We don't need a guy that raced in the 70s to come back in here and talk about a dirt race, which he's never been on.
Well, first of all, that was a joke, having a Darrell Waltrip on that dirt race. What did he bring to that broadcast?
That's what I'm saying, nothing.
He didn't bring a damn thing. Not a damn thing to that broadcast. What could he add to it?
Back in the 70s, you know, when I reached Nashville Fairgrounds.
You know what he did more than anything? Woo! Wow! That's what he did. What value does that bring to the broadcast? Does anybody else agree with me on that one? Did he bring 1 ounce of value to the dirt broadcast at Bristol? Yes or no?
No.
I had to take a drink. Got a little choked up on that one.
Yeah, we got you. Got to calm down. Calm down, Scott.
No, I don't want to calm down. I'm just saying it. You know, have I mentioned that this show is about opinions, right? Yeah. Your opinion, our opinion. But, hey, listen, AJ, you're right. I loved with Dale Jr. and Clint Bowyer in the booth. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was good.
You got to have people that are relevant. Dale, Clint, they know what's going on. They just got out of the car not too long ago.
They're recent.
Relevant, recent. I mean, it's just...
Right.
We don't... Back when, you know, Larry McReynolds was in the booth, now I like him being in there. Mike Joy was new. DW. It's all 1980, 1990, early 2000s, and that's 20-plus years ago, and times have changed, and it's just you're not relevant anymore. I mean, you might be on at some points, but you're not.
Darrell Waltrip, did he ever race on a radial tire?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know if he did or not. But let me tell you something. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of all the old people. It's just like here at Mostly Motorsports, just so you know. I've got an 18-year-old producer working for me. He leaves... I hate to say this. He leaves high school. What time do you get out of school?
10:15.
You're in 12th grade, right?
Yeah.
You leave at 10:15 and he comes right here and works for us here at the studio. This is what we need. We don't need old people. We don't need old people broadcasting these races. What about Mike Joy? You know, you've got to have...
I think he's still
relevant.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing about Mike. His knowledge is worth a lot.
That's...
The wealth of knowledge that Mike Joy has is worth him being on the broadcast. I don't have any problems with Mike Joy at all. None. I think he's still solid.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
It's the old washed up guys.
Okay, then I got one. So I just thought about this. When we go to, is it NBC? Is that what Junior's on?
Yep.
What's the guy's name? Tall guy. Rick Allen? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Rick Allen?
Yeah, I don't.
Why don't you like him? Tell me why.
Just the way he announces and he talks. It sounds like
you don't
he's
like
forced.
His voice?
No, I don't like his voice at all. And I don't really think, was he ever really, I don't know his background, was he ever really involved in, like, you know, racing, or what was his, when he kind of came to NASCAR, what was his deal? Like, was he a racer, or what was?
I don't know.
I want to look it up, but I don't think he really brings a whole lot to it, kind of like, you know, DW now.
Who would be the first person you would eject out of NASCAR coverage? Darrell Waltrip?
Well, he's already gone, so we don't worry about that.
Yeah. Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
But, like, I mean, you look at NBC, Junior and Steve Letarte. I mean, they're...
Let me tell you something. You want to replace Larry Mack with somebody, Steve Letarte's the guy.
Yeah. And also,
I really enjoy Steve Letarte. Do you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And also, too, I mean, we have Jeff Burton, too, in the NBC booth. So, you got crew chiefs, drivers, and all that, you know, and makes a good broadcast.
Is Jeff Burton, is he relevant still?
Yeah. Because, yeah, he, you know, he left a year or two before Junior, but he's still involved with his kid, and then, you know, he's still a recent racer, so it's not like he's...
Not that far out of the loop.
No.
Right, yeah.
Now, if he just got up and left the sport and was, you know, on a beach somewhere, then he's not relevant.
Right, right.
He's still involved with it.
All right, well, gosh, I don't know why I brought that up, but that's just one of my pet peeves, right? I'm just about tired of all the Waltrips, and I'm just about tired of all the old people that are on these NASCAR. It's like me. I'm an old fart. I'm lucky that you guys tune in and listen to what we have to say every day, right? I got a young guy with me. I got an 18-year-old producer that's studious and works at his craft. And so that balances us out as a team, right? I got an 18-year-old guy, and you got an old fart like me. And that's a good combination. You got the old and the new. But one thing that I'm not on NBC or Fox trying to be somebody that I'm not. And that's exactly what you see with Michael Waltrip and Darrell Waltrip. Get rid of them. Get them out of here. Nothing wrong with that. Send them down the road. I will tell you that I stole Darrell Waltrip's idea for the name of my child. I don't know if anybody knows this, but my daughter's name is Victoria Lane, and Victoria Lane stands for Victory Lane. What do you think about that, Austin? Am I a little chewed up? A little too much?
I don't know. Sounds good to me.
Huh? Is there something wrong naming your kid after Victory Lane?
No.
Victoria Lane is her name.
No. I mean, I named my cat. I guess I get it to cat.
But what's your cat?
Max, but that's short for Maxim.
Uh-huh, it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it would have been better if I would have had a son and I named him Race with my name being Trailer. Would that be like a boy named Sue?
I know Scotty Martin's kid's named Race.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but his name isn't Trailer.
No,
it's
I just know
Martin.
I just know it. The only person I know his name's Race.
Yeah, I told people that I was thinking about doing that, and they all looked at me like I was out of my mind when I told them that. So. All right, Austin, that's it for today. We're not sure who we're going to have lined up. We're going to work on our guest for tomorrow after we get off the air today. So stay tuned for tomorrow. We'll be doing it all over again tomorrow, Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And I also want to give out a great mention to our friends up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You know, they're right up there on 14 Highway, right up there by the racetrack. I don't know if you've heard about it, but they're going to have this tribute, this track tribute to Ascot Speedway, and it starts May 1st and it goes through October 1st, and it's going to be inside the museum. They're going to have all kinds of stuff up there. They're going to have cars. They're going to have memorabilia. It's so much going on when they have this exhibit up there from Ascot Speedway in Torrance, California. You need to go up there and check it out. The museum will have a tribute to Ascot Speedway. And not only that, they're going to have T-shirts and posters. They're going to have a lot of things going on up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Remember, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum has opened up 7 days a week and year-round, folks. They're open 7 days a week, year-round. So you'll never miss a day. Go up there any day you would like to. And if you can't visit the museum in person, you can go to their online store. It's open 24/7 as well. SprintCarStuff.com. SprintCarStuff.com. Go visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're up in Knoxville. I promise you, folks, it is a great time to go through the museum up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's right across the track from Knoxville Raceway. It's sitting over there on turn two. Go over and check it out. Say hi to our friend Bob Baker up there. He's a great guy. If you're going to go to the races, you've got to go to the Hall of Fame. It's a must. All right. We thank everybody for tuning into the show today. We'll do it all over again tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. We'll see you right here on Mostly Motorsports, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.